Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Lunch Break Coach podcast. Today with me here in the studio is Reni Mihailova. Reni is from Bulgaria, and Reni is well known as the founder of Knots, and she'll tell us a little bit more about this. And Reni is also a storyteller. She loves writing stories. That's what I know about her. Hi, Reni.
Hey, Dragan. It's so nice to be on your podcast today.
Ooh, thank you. I mean, you're one of the masterminds behind it, so I really wanted to have you. I was really interested to speak to you because, I've seen how you work, and we've been working together for quite some time now, believe it or not. And the few things on my mind that I'm really curious, and I think many people will benefit from knowing a little bit what you do and actually how you manage your work and how you manage your, I'm going to word, use the word business, because at the end it's a business. But I'm really curious to know who you are. You know, I said storyteller and founder, but who you are, not what you do, but more about that, who Reni is.
That's a pretty tough question. I remember you sending it over to me a couple of days ago, and I was thinking, who I am. So here is what I came up with. To best define me, you'd have to look back a little bit to the past. So on my calling card, I would label myself as a diplomat's daughter. I grew up all over the world, just with my suitcase, my family moving here, there, living in the Middle East, the United States, the UK, etc. So I think that's one of the key things that makes me, is that I have a little bit of a different perspective on the world because I've lived in many places and I've seen many things. And I like to think outside the box. Now, looking at who I am today, as you've said it, I'm the founder of Knots, but for me, founder isn't just a title or something like that. What I do in my work is really, really connected with who I am and my authenticity. Basically, I'm a storyteller. And what this means is that I can take any brand. I've worked with B2C products. I've worked with people who produce windows manufacturers and just find the story within their product or service. And I really enjoy what I do because it's linked with a lot of reading, a lot of writing, and just finding something beautiful, something interesting, something valuable in every single product I see or do or read about. So I think that's it, pretty much.
Traveler, storyteller, explorer, these are the things that comes to my mind when I'm listening to you. And it's interesting because you found the base where to work, but you still explore the world around you in a different perspective. And I know you read a lot. And I was like, what's on your top reading list at the moment? Like the three books that you're on top of your reading list at the moment.
Well, I definitely want to read Stephen King's latest book, Holly. What else is there? There is this book I saw in Reese Witherspoon's book club. It's called The House of Eve. And there is some of the classics. Basically, I really, really want to reread Anna Karenina because I really enjoyed that book. So these are my top three to come in the next couple of weeks.
I was wondering, you spend your young years traveling around, and what did this give you? Now, a thing that now you use in your work, spending, your childhood in various countries with completely different backgrounds, being in the Arab world or Europe or the States, which I can imagine different cultures and everything. So what's your gain from that you use in your work now?
I think it taught me how to look at things from different perspectives, to be a lot more flexible and adaptable to the way people talk, to the way people express themselves. Because when I was growing up, for me, it was very, very difficult to meet with people because the person who approaches you, you never know what language they would speak in. So when I was young, I taught myself to read body language and to get accustomed to people in active listening, to what they're trying to say, to what they're trying to portray with their words. Just dive a little bit deeper into the communication. And that's what I've been practicing my whole life. And as well, the thing I mentioned a little bit earlier, the different perspectives. Now, as a copywriter, I think that every single text can have a billion versions, you know, Dragon with ChatGPT, you can generate those in just a few seconds.
Yes.
But a good copywriter can take the human element, the human thought, which falls into the text, and just dive deeply into it and take it from a different perspective. So, for example, if I'm writing a story about, or an article about, I don't know, let's say this bottle of water, I can write the perspective, the story from my own perspective. I can take it from the whole room. I can take it even from the water that's inside the bottle, just to create a very different narrative, which could be interesting for some people. It could be interesting for others, but it really depends on the readers and social media platform. Yeah.
Interesting, like listening to people and trying to understand what's the message behind, what's the meta language they use, or the para language, depends how which time we're going to say. And you run your own business now, and now you have people working with you, and we always talk about, okay, female entrepreneurship and, you know, females in business and fair play and fair game. And I'm curious, what your struggles with running your own business?
Well, I think the biggest struggle for me sometimes is that you said it yourself. I'm a female entrepreneur, which and a copywriter, and I do my own thing, which, I mean, in some countries it's very well accepted. In Bulgaria, I think it we're still somewhere in the middle ground. I mean, like, as a creative, as a person who looks at things from different perspectives, sometimes clients can see my ideas as a little bit too outside the box. But the clients who I've been working with in the past 2 to 3 years, they've just been fantastic, amazing. I mean, once I start writing with them and just getting their perspectives, we sync together, we just develop a language and we build up the brands. So this is sort of a challenge for me sometimes, but at the same time, I'm getting more and more accustomed into it. Once I show my authentic self to people and they get to know me, my values and what I stand for. Another challenge, I would say, is a female entrepreneur that I sometimes experience. I think it's not even as a female entrepreneur, but it's, you know, my business is digital entirely. So working from home, managing my team, managing deadlines, you know, these types of things. Sometimes, you know, it can be a little bit of a struggle to get into the mindset of things because my work is very, very creative. I mean, from writing a single post or an article, I need to charge myself with the energy. And this sometimes means taking a walk in the forest with my dog, or just listening to a soundtrack of music, or just doing something that has nothing to do with copywriting, but at the same time, it charges my soul, it charges my perspective, and I can just then sit down and create the content or a copy.
I was wondering, you know, because I need to write things for myself sometimes, and the inspiration is definitely not there, you know, like, and how do you bring... You know, I mean, because I can imagine, like, you can't say, all right, I'll postpone it for tomorrow, or I can do it in an hour. You have clients you have to deliver, you have, you know, things that needs to be done, and your creativity really needs to be stimulated for this. So I was really wondering, okay, when you have a dry time, you know, like when everything is dry, like no ideas, how do you manage to stimulate this creativity?
This is in two parts. First thing, you know, I like to read books. So if I'm feeling like I can't think or do anything else, I just open the book to the side. For example, some Tolkien or some Stephen King or Terry Pratchett, and I dive into that world because it's very fictional, but at the same time, it has beautiful language, especially if you read the things in English. It just drives your soul. So you sit down and you read nice things which just stimulate you to think, okay, so we have some hobbits, we have some elves, we have this magical world with magical ring. Can we take this storyline and place it into the world of branding, into the world of communication, into the world of advertising? And I think that's the best thing to do, just take something that's really creative, that's really well known by people, that's a story we all grew up with, and just simulate it within the texts for to get the most sincere human emotions out of it. So that's one of the things. The second thing is just basically spend as much time possible in nature, because when I'm out on a walk, when I'm outside just listening to my music, seeing the forest and the world around me, I focus on the beauty of it and I start writing things in my head. So like, for example, when I see a beautiful sunset, it immediately drives my creativity and gets me thinking about how I would describe it. And from then on, I just start writing.
What I use for myself is, I don't know if you're familiar with it, it's called the 3 B's in creativity. Like bat, bed, and bus. And like bat is when you just take a bath or shower or do something different. Bed is when you rest, and bus is actually when you move from this. And movement is sometimes I go to the gym and like, oh my God, stop. The best ideas come there exactly when I can't write them. How do you catch the ideas? Because I come up with things and they're nice, and then I really like forget them in a minute.
Well, that's the funny thing about me. I have, because of the way I grew up with, I have a little bit of a photographic memory. So like, and when I come up with an idea, it gets stuck in my head. And if it's a really good one, I just jot it down somewhere and think about it later on. But if it's really good, I start thinking about it like 24/7. I mean, even when I go to bed, I'm just thinking about the idea. And it's not in a, like, you know, over obsessive or stressful way. It's just something more creative, and it has more to do with the language and how it would be structured and everything else. And it's something that drives me quite a lot. So yeah.
As a growing leader, let's put it this way, I'm wondering what kind of connection you see between leadership and creativity, how creativity can help leadership.
Well, leadership has a lot to do, I think, about your line of work and coaching and understanding people. So basically, to be able to understand people, you need to have a creative approach. You need to be personalized. When I first started working with my team, I thought to myself, okay, the things that motivate me would definitely motivate them. For example, big checklists of tasks that are to be completed that needs to have the little check at the end of the day. Or, for example, having that extra space and not being micromanaged by a boss who's constantly on their head and be like, okay, meet the deadline, where is this, where is that? I thought this would work perfectly for them. But the more I started working with my team, the more I started to understand that they have completely different needs than me. So sometimes it's just going out for coffee and talking about things that have nothing to do with our work, but are more on a personal level, more on an emotional and on a health level. So how are you feeling today, actually? You feel burned out? What are your thoughts about this task, about this book, about this movie you've seen? So it's more about building a sustainable creative relationship with these people rather than just delegating tasks and meeting deadlines. What are your thoughts on leadership and creativity?
When I used to be a leader, I had to, you know, create things from nothing sometimes. And even as you mentioned, like what motivates people, I have to create things that motivates people, because not everyone is the same. I mean, if you have a team of five, that you need to be, I always say, like, if you have five children, you have to be five different parents, you know, like parent times five. You can't parent your children all five in the same way. And the same thing, if you have a team of five, you have to be five different kind of leaders, you know, or leadership approaches to have with your with your team. I was about to say with your children. How strange. I mean, I was always the oldest one in my team. Everyone used to be like much, much, much younger. And I could be, some of them, I could be their father, actually. But that's a different story. And well, you constantly had to be creative, knowing them, who they are, and what motivates them, and what kind of, you know, life they have. So you can relate to this and come up with things, even tasks. You know, like I had someone who is good in writing. I had someone who is very good in research. And I was creating work around them for, you know, to keep them engaged. And it always paid well. Like it paid off quite well. And now with some of them, we're going to keep in touch after a few years not working together. So that is it. But as a leader, I had a mission. My mission was to make sure that, especially if this is their first job, they learn a way of work that will be helpful for them in the future. So when they leave, because eventually people leave, they come out from our relationship in a way that will set them for success in the future. It wasn't only about doing the job, but it's about building them as future leaders. So that also requires a lot of creativity. I did mistakes, you know, can't. What were your biggest mistakes as a newly kind of emerging leader and business owner? What were your biggest flops?
The thing about task delegation.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the thing. When I created Knots, I wanted to work a single year all by myself, just to see the workload, to check every single thing, how it could be done, how it could be written. I dove into so many different versatile topics. I mean, one moment I was writing about cheese, the next moment I was writing about financial models and euro financing, then the next about completely different topics. And in that one single year, I think that was my mistake, that I didn't seek help earlier, because I wanted to test everything. I wanted to see how it works. I wanted to, you know, do it all on my own. Then when I got my team with the tasks, I mean, in the beginning, it was very difficult for me to understand their way of understanding, because coming from a little bit of a corporate background, you know, I was always on my emails. I really like checking them every single day, 5 times minimum, constantly answering. Like, I remember one of my bosses, if you didn't answer his emails within the first 5 to 10 minutes after he had sent it out, he would get mad at you. So I was used to this kind of tempo. And I didn't want to bring that energy to my team. So in the beginning, I set them down and was like, okay, I can see you guys don't want to communicate via email and it's difficult to be on Viber. What's social media or resource you want to communicate over? They were like, we're active on Instagram. I was like, okay, let's do an Instagram chat where we can talk and socialize. And actually, it turns out to be way, way more efficient for us, because we can schedule our meetings and talk about so many things within Instagram. And the same goes for LinkedIn. I mean, we have a chat, we constantly send each other updates we've seen and comment those, just to keep up our copywriting skills and get inspired by things. So that's one of the second biggest mistakes, I guess. It was my taking my corporate mind and just thinking everyone thinks corporately about communication. And the third mistake, I think, is sometimes I dive too much into the small details and want to take like control of everything. And the more I lead my team, the more I understand that these are people with different perspectives than mine. And there's nothing wrong with having so many different perspectives as a copywriter. There is nothing right or wrong. There is just a feeling, a sense, an emotion within our work. And this shouldn't be ostracized in any way. It should be just let to be free and for people to be creative and be happy about what they do and where they work. Because in the end of the day, I think that's my role as a leader, to take these young girls, they're Gen Z, mm-hmm. and give them a helping hand, build them up as professionals, and just show them that work isn't all about checklists and structures and everything else. It's about pouring your heart, your soul, your emotions, and really loving what you do.
I was listening to you, and you know how said you created your common space in the space you work with. You know, like it's the space you work in, like LinkedIn, Instagram. I mean, that's the medias you use for your work, I guess, more or less. I mean, and then the control and excellence, or like control and always being perfect. That's something I see quite a lot with people who step into management, and especially if you own the business. That's very common, because I wouldn't like to have control and everything. Letting go, it's very difficult, and especially if you were doing the things yourself, because you know, like input and output, that's what you know, like I have control on this. And when you have other people, it's like, oh, what's going to happen here? Is it going to be as I expect it to be? What if it's not? What if it's better? I've seen clients saying, actually, as soon as I let go of control, I realize they come with better things than me.
That's definitely true, and it resonates with me, because once you let your team think for themselves and write for themselves, I mean, they can have so many more creative ideas and so many more structures, and can offer so, so, so many different perspectives.
It's interesting. Many leaders don't think that the teams need to be better than them and what they do. I mean, not in leadership, but like if I've been professional in something, if I was a copywriter, I become a leader, then I'm less copywriter. I'm more a leader. So it's normal for people to become better in copywriting than me. I need to get better in leading.
It should be this way, exactly. You should at one point let go of everything that's technical and instead let other people have their moment in the sun and be happy about it. Because in the end, what should drive leaders is not their own achievements in I'm the best, I'm the Lion King, the Pride of the Lion, but it's rather their team's achievements and how they succeed in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. That's what the people like. Your success is measured by how your team performs. Not by how good technical you are. So, and it's fine. And it's just fine. This was part one of our conversation with Reni. In part two, we're going to look into how she transitioned from working alone to having a team. What are her leadership challenges? How she motivates the team and how she creates the teamwork in a team that is extremely creative.